not Mission Impossible. It's a mission that we have to take on. We don't have a choice. We can't give up. We got to defeat the globalists. Nick Fuentes is about to join us for the next 2 hours, and then Sneeko might be popping in. We're not sure yet, but I'm on his show at 3 p.m. right when this ends in 2 hours from now. And Harrison Smith is going to be carrying that live on The War Room. You'll find The War Room on rumble.com/The War Room Live. I've also told him to post his feed on Real Alex Jones at rumble.com/The Alex Jones Show Live. I want his feed, too, on there, guys. I said that a few weeks ago, and I noticed it hasn't been put there yet. I want to make sure that happens. I want to promote Harrison. I want to, all the hosts we're going to be bringing on. We've got to be promoted on the main channel. And they can have their own channels as well. We'll get into this more with Nick. Iran, the Islamic uprisings, midterms, all that coming up. But here's a little bit of Nick last night reacts to rape allegations against Graham Plattner. And, yeah, I don't support Plattner. I don't like evil Democrats. But the Republican he's running against is just as bad. So here's that to clip.
And this is a shame because Susan Collins is a terrible Republican. She's one of the worst. Always votes against Trump. Is in no way, shape, or form even meaningfully right wing. And so if any Republican needs to go, it's her. And I don't like Graham Plattner. I think he's another one of these communists and obviously a degenerate. And I'm not a big fan of his either. But Susan Collins really has got to go. She is easily one of, if not the worst Republican that's running for re-election in the Senate, and I would be ecstatic to see her lose the race and for the Republicans to lose the Senate with her. That would be phenomenal. And so it's sad to see that Graham Plattner is being destroyed over this. It's funny, though, because this is just another Me Too sex scandal, just another Me Too fake allegation. So this woman is claiming that 5 years ago, her boyfriend, who she's in a situationship with, on and off, barges into her home and starts being forceful with her. She says in an interview that what she said to him when he starts initiating sex is, "My back hurts. I don't feel like it." They have sex. She doesn't even kick him out of the house. She goes to bed with him in the same bed. He stays the night. She sleeps with him in the same bed. She wakes up in the morning and says, hey, she wakes up in the morning after this traumatic rape that she needs therapy for. She wakes up. Hey, you remember what happened last night? That you raped me? And he goes, no, I don't remember. And then he goes home. She continues seeing him for a month later.
It's Fuentes watching Fuentes.
Waiting to see if she's going to get pregnant because she wasn't on birth control. She continues seeing him for a month after the fact. And then when she realizes she wasn't pregnant, she says, hey, by the way, when you had sex with me all that time ago, that wasn't consensual. We're over. She later texts a friend who is interested in dating him. She says he's a charming guy, intelligent, charismatic. She goes, but he's a little recklessly consensual sometimes. Recklessly sort of consensual sometimes, she says. This is how she describes her rapist. No police report. She comes forward with the allegation years after the fact. She tells the New York Times he had inappropriate conduct, but she didn't say it was a rape until after he won the primary. And now that it looks like he might actually get the seat and win the election and become a senator, oh, now it's a rape. Okay. Now it's a rape. And so this is just one of the most ridiculous Me Too stories I've ever heard of all time. You've heard some pretty ridiculous Me Too rape allegations, sexual assault. This one really takes the cake. So first of all, and listen, I've never had a relationship. Maybe I don't understand how this works. How is it that someone you're actively having sex with can rape you? I really don't get that. I understand if it was maybe forced or you weren't in the mood.
We're going to come back with Nick Fuentes live. That's Nick from his show, hit show on Rumble, rumble.com/Nick J. Fuentes. We'll come back to him. But the point is they're all eating their own, and it's just insane. Back in 60 seconds, share the live feeds right now. Globalists are collapsing worldwide, but they're fighting back with tyranny, censorship, and more. And they have targeted my operation more than anybody else's. But that's okay. That means We're over the target. It means we're effective. And I couldn't have done any of this without you. All of the success of my operation through the listeners, the viewers, your word of mouth, your support, and, of course, the great crew. And that's why I want to just thank you all as America approaches its 250th anniversary. We have to understand they're trying to demoralize us, trying to break our will. We can't let them do that. It's the globalists that are losing. We're actually winning. So, to celebrate America's 250th anniversary, we're launching the biggest sale in the history of thealexshannelstore.com. Buy one, get one free, ultramethylene blue. Buy one, get one free, bovine colostrum. Buy one, get one free, Shilajit complex. So incredible. And up to 60% off on all the other supplements, 50% off on all the Patriot apparel, limited issue, 250th anniversary, and more. So take action now at thealexshannelstore.com and be the reason we stay on the air and celebrate our American Republic, the globalist hate.
Discover trends and global developments years before they happen, right here on The Alex Jones Show.
All right, it's 1:06 Central Time. That's 2:06 Eastern, 12:06 Mountain, 11:06 Pacific. Or there's some time in Australia or in England on the Greenwich Mean Time, wherever you're listening, welcome to the global transmission. Nick Fuentes is with us for the next hour and 50 minutes or so. And then Harrison Smith comes in to do the War Room live. I've agreed to go on Sneeko's show at 3 p.m., so we're going to be simulcasting that. That should be interesting, to say the least. And, you know, this Sneeko thing is one of the top stories since he was at that Islamic rally, one of many in New York, saying, we're taking over, every home will be Islamic, which is the Quran. It's a manual of takeover and pedophilia and marrying nine-year-olds and Muhammad being gangbanged by 30 black men to get their seed. I'm not kidding. That's in there in the Hadiths. And that's what it is. It's a nightmare situation. Just because we're upset with Israel and don't like what Israel's doing doesn't mean we're, you know, on board with Islam. And Nick's been talking a lot about that lately, and we're going to get to that. I know people want to hear about that because it really captured the world's attention. And I would say if you got to mark a line, in just general the last few months, Muslims have said, we're 10% in most countries now, we're taking over, that's what the Quran says. Then they go in the violent mode to attack you in the towns and cities, to drive you out, to take over town by town. This is a formula. It took them, you know, 700 years of them attacking Europe until we did the Crusades back. And I'm predicting you can mark this line in the future as when the new Crusades began. This is the beginning of the beginning, and I predict into the future that you're going to see Christian nationalism that Nick's been predicting for a decade explode, and it is the future. And America first, and not white supremacy, but whites in the West not bowing to being told to take a back seat by the globalists, by the Israel lobby, and its coalition of anti-whites. And there's going to be a lot of people who aren't white, who understand the West, want to be part of it, who actually are on board. So I'm not against blacks, Hispanics, Asians, anybody, Jews that don't want to be part of this, Muslims that want to no longer be Orthodox Muslims and want to be reformed. That's great. But you've declared war on us just like you did for 700 years. Muhammad comes along and it takes 700 years till we fight back. And the whole corporate system gets up there and says, we started it. No, we didn't start it. We finish it. And I predict that we are in the beginning of the second great crusade. That's coming up later with the Sneeko coverage as him just being a mile marker that, oh, the new Crusades, you can mark this as when the boiling begins, it's here. But let's go there first briefly as a little prelude, an hors d'oeuvre, and then let's get into Iran and the huge developments there, how that ties into geopolitics, then socialist, communist winning all the major primaries, and more with Nick J. Fuentes. Follow him on rumble.com/ Nick J. Fuentes. Nick, thank you for the time. You have been particularly eloquent as usual, but you're getting better and better. Such a young guy out there. I see you battling the culture wars everywhere, and more you're like the mainstream. And then now people have to do low IQ anti-Semitism and just act like total psychos to try to somehow get attention. But as you predicted a year ago, that's burning out. And the ascension of Planet Groiper is accelerating. And we've seen the curse of the Groipers again with old Sneaky.
Yeah, he's really been a victim of the Groiper curse. And so have the Muslims in the World Cup. I don't know if you saw what happened with Egypt the other day, but they blew their 2-1 lead in the last 10 minutes of the game. And Sneeko, Sneaky was crying about it in New York. literally weeping, tears falling out of his eyes. But you're right. This is something I talked a lot about towards the end of last year and the beginning of this year. And it's sort of interesting. I'd like to talk a little bit more about this on my show and maybe do a project about it. But it's interesting how the pro-Palestine cause, anti-Israel cause for the past couple of years has obviously united a lot of people. And it's brought a lot of people, I think, to America First. I think it's brought a lot of awareness about the influence of AIPAC in Israel. But something that I started to notice around late last year, early this year, is the extent to which any and all criticism of Israel is increasingly ideologically captured by Muslims and the left. And I started to notice that when Charlie Kirk was killed. Charlie Kirk was killed by, I believe, Tyler Robinson, leftist. And whatever happened with Charlie Kirk, I know some people disagree. Some people believe in some conspiracy theory. Regardless, it was tens of thousands, maybe hundreds of thousands of left wingers that celebrated. So whoever you think killed them, left wingers actually welcomed the development. They were glad that he was gunned down in cold blood in front of his family who was watching this, I think, remotely. And when that happened, I think in a moment, the right wing and really the whole country was united against the left. People said the radical left killed Charlie Kirk or celebrated it at the minimum. And something must be done. We have to go after Antifa. We have to go after some of these cells. And that's been a problem for a long time. The healthcare CEO, the assassination attempts against Trump, and then Charlie Kirk. But then what started to happen after the killing of Charlie Kirk was all of a sudden you had Max Blumenthal, a Jewish leftist, but also many of the Muslims start to say, no, it's an Israeli plot. It's Israel and no left-wing people commit violence. And as a matter of fact, there is no right and left divide. That's totally artificial and made up. The only thing that exists is just Israel. And I remember thinking, Charlie Kirk was pro-Israel his entire career, his entire profession. Why would Israel kill their number one guy? And then this was something that was picking up steam in the beginning of the year with the extradition of Nicolas Maduro from Venezuela, the killing of those two protesters by ICE in Minneapolis. Those were a couple of other issues where, once again, this Israel thing came up. They said you can't be in favor of Southern Spear and the New Monroe Doctrine, which is to say taking over Venezuela and maybe Cuba and Nicaragua, because that's Israel. And you can't be in favor of ICE deporting Somalians, scamming American taxpayers, because that's Israel, too. They said ICE is training with the IDF. So somehow that's Israel also. And I basically put all these things together and I realized that between the killing of Charlie Kirk, extradition of Maduro, the ICE killings in Minneapolis, these are all things that the left wing and Muslims benefit from blaming on Israel. And I realized all of a sudden it's like I don't have anything in common with these people. And just because I'm against Israel and the war in Iran doesn't mean I'm in favor of communism in Venezuela or the regime in Cuba. Doesn't mean I'm in favor of abolishing ICE and open borders. And doesn't mean I think that there is not a real problem with left-wing violence when there so obviously is. And something needs to be done about that by the federal government, by the executive branch. And so this is something I've been really outspoken about lately. And I think only now are people really starting to realize the extent of the problem. And you see what guys like Sneeko, Jackson Hinkle, Max Blumenthal, Dan Kazarian, as I like to call him, many of these people that are not even really patriotic, they're not nationalists, they're not America First, they're just anti-Israel, and they're either left-wing or Muslim or captured by one or the other. And so that's something I've really been adamant about lately.
Well, I'm not trying to say, see, I told you so, but I remember about 3 years ago, people could pull it up, and you've been right about things I was wrong on just as much. So we're not wrong a lot. I'd say we're both about 98% accurate. I was like, listen, Islam is a major deal. There's 2 billion of them. They're allied with the left. We got to harp on Islam. And you're like, yeah, but that's really, you know, Israel uses that as a diversion. And it's true that the Israel First crowd and the greater Israel crowd props themselves up with their Zionist and Christian Zionist propaganda that, oh, you got to be with Israel to be against Islam. And that plays into Blumenthal and others who I think mean well. But yes, I mean, oh, the IDF's training ICE. Not even true. I remember that thing. And oh, obviously Israel killed him. And I'm not saying that couldn't be possible, but we were told day one that was it. And nobody wanted to talk about 10 trannies days before saying he'll be dead when he comes to town in a couple days. And then they said, see, we told you we'd kill him. And then we found out Cash Patel didn't want to interview them. I learned that from TPUSA at the top. Patel told him that. So I had a lot of issues and still do. But now Robinson's wearing the trans flag. They have the DNA. They have all this. And now they have the video of him, as they said they did, with the gun in his leg. You know, clearly going up, you know, to the top of the building and all of it. And for everybody that said, no, absolutely, you know, Israel did it, or, you know, absolutely, they're going to look foolish as more and more of this comes out. Now, I've said a lot of the official story doesn't add up. The bullet not going through, all of that. The FBI confirmed, the contractor went public, saying we want it all concrete scooped out under where he was 4 feet in 2 days. We want it covered up. Well, if bullets didn't hit that, what are you doing? A lot of weirdness. We should all ask questions. But absolutely, this thing to then attribute everything to Israel every time. And then if you criticize what Islam's doing, they always say, oh, you're with Israel. They say it to you. They say it to me. And I'm like, no, I don't want to be bitten by a rattlesnake or a cobra. I don't want to be shot in the head with a 357 Magnum or a 12 gauge. It is a false equivalency to say you're either for Israel or you're for Islam. It's moronic. But we do get it from the neocons, the $1.3 billion Israel officially funded the last year for domestic propaganda, you know, coming after those of us that criticize Trump. You and I and others that have been listed saying, oh, we're Qataris and all this asinine crap, when we have our biggest base in Qatar. Trump gets a jumbo jet from Qatar. I'm not even trying to bash Trump. It's just the idea. And notice when the Southern Poverty Law Center documents came out, you weren't a Fed. I wasn't a Fed. A bunch of these groups were. When the WikiLeaks comes out, I'm not a Fed. When the Epstein files come out, he's attacking me. Files come out about them targeting you. And the truth is, the people they're claiming are Qatari agents and all the rest of this, that's not true. We're not Jewish agents. That's not true. We're America firsters indeed, in action, and that's why we're popular, and that should show the system where the future is. I want to talk about the ascension later of America First, but let's get in. Let's just do Sneeko now and do Iran and all that later, because we're already here. Let's talk about what I said earlier. Do you agree that this is really the beginning of the Second Great Crusade and that we're going to be victorious? It may take 50 years, but I can feel it. Nick Fuentes.
I hope it is. I hope it's the beginning of a Christian revival. But I think we have to first start with awakening a consciousness within America about what our civilization is. And this is why I think it's really meaningful, because it's sort of interesting that for a couple of years, you had the Zionists who mostly control the Republican Party and the right wing. Obviously, they have influence among the Democrat Party. We recognize, though, that Netanyahu and his Likud government, they have a very special play with the Republican Party, very special relationship with the Trump family in particular, but also the Republican Party in general. And it's interesting how the only way it's been acceptable for the past few years to be contrary to this influence of Israel and recognize Israel as a distinct civilization, Jewish civilization, Israel. It's the Jewish religion. It's the Jewish ethnicity. It's the Jewish culture. That's really separate and distinct from Europe and from Christendom. It's different from Europeans. It's different from Christianity, different ethnicity, different religion. The only way to meaningfully oppose the influence of this foreign civilization in America so far has been really to side with Muslims. That seems to be the most, that's like the overwhelming loudest voice in the room, is free Palestine from the river to the sea, promoting the Muslim religion. And what I've tried to promote, contrary to both of these things, is that we actually have a role in all of this. We are a distinct, separate civilization. We shouldn't be dominated by Israel and by this Jewish nation inside of America, New York City, LA, and Miami. We also shouldn't be dominated by Muslim civilization. We also shouldn't be dominated by, let's say, the Saudis, the Qataris, Iran, these other countries. We are Christians. We are Europeans. We are the inheritors of Greece and Rome and all those great colonial empires, the Dutch, the Spanish, English, French, Portuguese, and so on. We should really embrace our identity. So I think in order to have this crusade, in order to really assert our role separate and distinct from the others, we have to become aware of who we are again. What is it to be American? What is it to be white? What is it to be Christian? I think there's a lot of work to be done on that front.
I 1 trillion percent just interrupt. Agreed. When I say crusade, I mean the beginning of the renaissance of rediscovering our identity, not bowing, not cucking, becoming territorial again, really learning our identity again. As the crusade, it took 700 years before. I think it's going to be accelerated now. And within the coming decades, we will then see major pushback. And I mean real deportations, because the Muslims are just going to get more violent, more arrogant. They're not going to stop. And I look at the numbers and the facts. I know at a gut level, we already see it. We're going to rally, and it's going to be really tough and rough. But in the end, we're going to win because the West is superior, and God's hand is on us, not on Israel, and not on the Muslims. We have the manifest destiny, Nick Fuentes, and you're going to be seen in the history books as one of the key harbingers or John the Baptist of what is about to happen.
Well, and you as well. And you, we all are, I think. Everybody in the Patriot movement and the America First movement will be as well. And I agree. I hope that's the way that it goes. It'll be interesting to see what shape that takes, though, because obviously in America, we have a little bit of a problem. Unfortunately, a lot of the Protestants are extremely pro-Israel. And so that's sort of an issue. And many of the white people are very liberal and atheist. So the religious dimension, I agree with you. It's going to need a lot of work. We're going to need to kind of, like you said, stop cucking and start taking up space, recognizing and being proud of who we are and so on. With regard to the Muslims, though, you were 100% right, I have to say. You've been very gracious, and you say that I was right about Trump, and I predicted that we'd go to war with Iran. You're 100% right about the Muslims. And I'll say that in 2023, 24, and 25, I did think it was useful that the Muslims and the left were bringing that Israel issue to the forefront, because they really were. And it created a wedge. It was. And they created a wedge within the Democratic Party. They split the Democrats. I think that hurt Biden, helped Trump get elected, which I know you supported. And I think a lot of people recognize might be better than what we would have gotten under Kamala Harris, although I think it's a little contentious. So it definitely created a wedge among the left and the Democrats. But it also brought this issue to the forefront because liberals control the mainstream. And so if the right wing is criticizing Israel, we're seen as Nazis. We're seen as Hitler lovers or something like that. It's from a racial, bigoted point of view. If the left wingers bring the Israel issue to the fore under this aegis of caping for Palestine, they're white knighting for the indigenous people of the Middle East, you're able to kind of sneak it past the goalie, and it gets into the mainstream, and it seems like it's less offensive for some reason. And so I think for some time, that was useful. There was a time and a place for that. But what I started to recognize this year is that basically it's becoming the case that if you're Israel critical, you're also now expected to be left wing. And what really made me wake up to this was the DSA election in New York a couple of weeks ago, where Zohran Mamdani's three candidates beat the Democrat establishment-backed candidates in their primaries. And so, for example, there was one of those Zohran-backed DSA candidates, this Chevalier. She's a black woman. She gets elected in the primary. And you look at her platform, and her platform is abolish ICE, abolish prisons, defund the police, open borders, abortion on demand. She has tweets going back 6 years where she says she's wiping her dirty hands on the American flag like it's a napkin. She's wearing a mask saying BLM, defund the police. And I saw that, but at her rally, when she won on election night, people were chanting that they defeated AIPAC. This was seen as a victory over Israel. And I saw Matt Walsh, who I'm not the biggest fan of, he tweeted about this person and said, this is an anti-white, anti-American communist. These people are the enemy. Now, Ryan Grimm, he's a left winger. He's at Drop Site News. He's very supportive of this. He said that Matt Walsh calling this woman anti-American and anti-white, he said that's helping Netanyahu. He said, if you are against this woman, you're pro-AIPAC, you're pro-Netanyahu. This is Ryan Grimm, a white male leftist at Drop Site News. And I replied to him on Twitter. I said, Ryan, are you really saying if we have a problem with this despicable human being that wants no borders, no prisons, no police, abortion on demand, she hates the American flag, so disrespectful. I said, if I have a problem with that, I'm pro-AIPAC. I'm helping Netanyahu. And to me, that encapsulates what is happening on the Israel critical side, which is the left is basically using that to bring all the people in the center into their radical 100%. Cause. It's like a Trojan horse. 100%. And so I said, we need to start drawing some lines and saying, look, I'm America first. I'm not anti-Israel. I'm America first. And that makes me critical of Israel's influence, but it also makes me against communists, open borders, all the rest
100%.
Of that.
100%. And they successfully, with the help of the Israel Firsters, Mark Levin and Ben Shapiro, because they make it, you're either for Israel or you're pro-Islam, pro-communist. And so you're getting it from both sides that fool a lot of people, but I see people waking up from that. But I don't even want to give the people time. But that was, you know, a year ago, 2 years ago. I'm sure you've seen this, but Bilzerian, Sneeko, without me even looking, I saw yesterday and today six different people in my feeds, and then I knew that I'd seen you on other shows say the opposite, so I went and found a compilation of Groypers countering it. I think it was Nick Fuentes updates or something. We played part of it earlier and put it in a special report. But they're all up there saying Nick Fuentes won't talk about Israel now that he made it big time and got on Piers Morgan. Your show's way bigger than this. Like, we want to get on the corporate media. Sure, we'll do it, but it's not like that big a deal. I mean, I'm on, they attack me on everything constantly every day, and I care less. It's like, I mean, that's being on it. But the point is the level of deception. You go on those shows and intellectually and get people to wake up because you know your facts, eloquently expose Israel first trying to run our country and try to take over our military and intelligence intensely. And then they're just bald-faced lying, saying you're with Israel now. That is the same tactic, and it's such an insult to their viewers. And most people don't buy it, but I see some idiots buying that. If somebody lies to me like that, I never listen to them again. So why do you think they're so recklessly lying about you?
Well, it's a little bit suspicious to me. I'm a little bit curious because I actually talked with Dan about this months ago. He said to me, you're not talking about Israel anymore. I said, Dan, I talk about it every week on my show. He said, well, you don't talk about it on interviews. I said, which ones? He said, Tucker and Jack Neal. I said, I talked about it in both of those interviews at length. He goes, well, you didn't talk about it the entire time. I said, Dan, this is persuasion 101. I said, you can't just hit the same issue over and over and over. By the way, I do. I said, but if that's literally every sentence is F Israel, F Israel, I said, it gets monotonous. I said, you actually want to meet people where they are. You want to present as well-rounded. This is just basic how to win friends and influence people. Now, what's curious about somebody like Dan is I notice he's friends with Candace Owens. He's friends with Tucker, or not friends with Tucker, but he likes Tucker Carlson. Now, let's just say from a purely objective point of view, Candace Owens says repeatedly, it's not the Jews, it's the Frankists. It's got nothing to do with those real Jews. They're not the issue. It doesn't even really necessarily have something to do with Israel. It's these Frankists. Tucker Carlson says repeatedly, Israel's not my enemy. I love Israel. It's the secular government in Israel that's the problem. And so I noticed the purity test only applies to me, even though I'm the one that's saying it is Jewish nationalism, it is Jewish supremacy that's the problem, that's not good enough. But these other people that clearly have a more diluted ideological perspective, he doesn't seem to criticize them. So that makes it a little bit suspicious to me. But like you said, you don't even need to get that deep into it. It's just a lie. They just make this up and say, he doesn't talk about that anymore. He's running cover for them. I'm talking about the same stuff as I always have been on the show. And I agree with you. Once you realize somebody is bad faith or lying, why then listen to them at that point? So I saw that. And not only is it totally insane and ridiculous, you know, on the one hand, I have Mark Levin calling me Little Adolf every week. Tucker Carlson says I'm too anti-Semitic for him. But then on the other side, I have Dan Kazarian, who is 12% Jewish himself, by the way, saying I'm not sufficiently anti-Semitic. So it's like I just can't win. You know, according to
come back and finish up on this. But at first, because I've seen this for a while, they do it to me too. I thought it was just jealousy and just a way to act like they're more powerful and more pure or whatever. But now it's a talking point, and it's not true. Nick, let's come back and talk about Sneeko and the outrage he's caused. Then I want to look at the Iran disaster, the midterms, more of the Democratic Socialist of America, and more with Nick J. Fuentes. Follow him on Rumble at rumble.com/Nick J. Fuentes and find him on X. I'm Alex Jones on Rumble, rumble.com/Alex Jones Show Live. We'll be right back. Stay with us. My fellow patriots, the first thing the globalists and the leftists do when they want to silence you is go after your merchant accounts, go after your business payment systems. It's that simple. They try to cut off your ability to even receive money or make payments. It's globalist siege. It's globalist economic warfare. It's a globalist blockade, an embargo, sanctions against American populist patriots. For everyone that's been watching and listening to me for years, you've seen the attacks. You've seen the deplatforming. You've seen the court battles, the news articles, the demonization, the bogus default judgments. We even have FBI and CIA operatives on hidden camera talking about how their entire goal was to take me out at the knees by knocking out my ability to accept payments. And that model they used on me, they admit, is for all of you.
Alex Jones.
Yeah, so we were after him.
So with Alex Jones, and the goal with him was what, just to bankrupt him?
Pretty much.
Well, because of First United Payments and your support, they failed. And they failed because I had a processor with a backbone who loves America and believes in the free market. One who stands up for American justice and who didn't back down when they received threatening messages and pressure from other major institutions. If you are a conservative business owner, Google is watching you. Meta, Facebook is watching you. Amazon, all of the major big tech is watching you. If you think for one second that they are not orchestrating and coordinating their efforts behind the scenes to take you offline and out of business and render you harmless to the system and the machine, you are wrong. The question is not if, it's when Stripe, Shopify, PayPal, Square, they're all part of the same big tech machine. Consolidation, vertical integration, that is the goal of the BlackRock globalist system. Because once there's only one central system, they can bring in the universal credit score. This is the key to their entire panopticonic takeover plan, in their own words. The head of BlackRock, Larry Fink, was very clear. Once they have the system in place and they're close, they are going to shut down everybody that isn't part of their system, even people that aren't political. This is about total control. They've just got to get to the patriots that are opposing them to get to you. And FirstUnitedPayments.com stands directly in the tyrant's way. My fellow Americans, this is your call to action. Call or email First United Payments now and ask them how you can protect your business against the globalist predatory attacks and shutdowns today. Visit First United Payments now at FirstUnitedPayments.com. And talk to a real human here in the good old U.S. of A by calling toll-free 877-899-1313. That's 877-899-1313. The tyrants are counting on us not to innovate. They're counting on us not to migrate to institutions and organizations that are pro-human just like us. This isn't some new company. I've been using them for almost a decade. They're already taking care of most of the patriots. Whether you're a florist, have a gas station, or you're a farmer, or you've got a little five and dime shop or a factory, whatever it is, online merchants, this is the place for you. These guys are patriots and they're in our corner. They're Americans just like us, and they hate the New World Order with a passion. They believe in the free market, and they understand this is 1776 2.0. 90% of it is information warfare and financial. And this is just as important as the right to self-defense and guns. You've got to be able to have your own business. You've got to be able to operate without these globalist sharks, this mafia shutting you down. And First United Payments is the tip of the spear. Proven warriors, ladies and gentlemen, in this fight. Thank you so much. Now visit FirstUnitedPayments.com right now.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle. AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
Waging war on corruption. It's Alex Jones coming to you live from the front lines of the info war.
Muslim. The whole world can accept the truth. The whole world can go to heaven, God willing. The whole world can reject the idols, reject this pagan worship, reject the skin color worship, get rid of racism, endless wars, oppression of others, get rid of this division. Inshallah, the whole world says La ilaha illallah and can go to heaven. I want the best for you. I love you. I don't want you to burn in hellfire for eternity for worshiping yourself or for worshiping Trump. For worshiping the Jews in Israel. I want you to go to heaven. I want you to have eternal paradise. He's doing the citizen vigilante thing.
And we'll get We'll get the clip in a moment, too, the one that went super viral that Elon Musk, you know, reposted of where he, you know, says, we're taking over, every home will be Islam, we're going to dominate, we're going to take control. And the reason we're spending some time showing this guy is he really got people's attention. He really pissed people off, because it's not just some guy that can barely speak English saying Islam's going to take over, the thousands of videos of imams and their marches and all of that. You know, this is a guy with an American accent just sitting there saying, screw you, I'm going to plant my flag up your ass. Nick Fuentes.
Well, and what's interesting about it is I actually saw Sneeko do a stream a little bit later with the brother of Myron Gaines from Fresh and Fit. And the brother is from Sudan, and he was born a Muslim. He's a lifelong Muslim. Sneeko's a convert. Sneeko was born Catholic, born in America. He's not Arab. He's not from the Muslim world. He became Muslim. And he sat down, he talked with Riad, who's brother of Myron Gaines. And Riad was talking to Sneeko about this big public prayer they did in Times Square. And Riad, who's actually born a Muslim, like I said, from Sudan, from a Muslim country, speaks Arabic. He said, actually, that's not a good Muslim practice. He said, because when Muslims go out in Times Square and they do their prayer in public, he said, that's provocative. And it's intended to be provocative. He said, you're actually, what you're doing when you do this is you're antagonizing everybody. And what that does is it actually makes people dislike Muslims. Obviously, because it's meant to be a challenge. When they go and take up space in the public square, literally in Times Square, it's meant to say, we are here, we're Muslim, this is our territory now. And so ironically, it's the person who was born Muslim, is Muslim, speaks Arabic, who says, no, no, don't do this, this is going to backfire. And what's interesting, Sneeko replied to that and said, you just want to be white. You just want to be white so bad. You just want to make the white people happy. And you realize that this Muslim and left-wing thing, it goes hand in hand, which is to say that it's all motivated fundamentally by anti-Americanism. They hate whites. They hate Christendom. And they recognize America as emblematic of Europe and Christendom. This is the big white Christian empire, whether we like that or not. That's how they see it. And that's really what it represents to them. And so when you see Sneeko say, you know, the whole world's going to be Muslim, la, 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 the whole world's going to be Muslim, whatever. And then you see him the next day and he's looking like a maniac. He's baring his teeth. His eyes are wide. He's like a maniac. You recognize that what this is about is really something like a race war. That for all this talk about rejecting the idolatry of skin color, the idolatry of one's race, these material things, why did Sneeko become Muslim? Why does he wear the black suits? He's trying to emulate Malcolm X because he thought Christianity was too white. He needed an anti-white religion, a non-white religion, a third world religion. So he doesn't feel like an Uncle Tom. He doesn't feel like he wants to be white. He's not desperate to be liked. And when you hear this rhetoric about, you know, we're going to end all racism, we're going to end all genocide, we're going to make the whole world Muslim, it's really indistinguishable from leftism. It's indistinguishable from what leftists say about America with their socialist, anti-colonial, anti-Western, anti-American rhetoric. And that's why they're natural allies. That's why, and it's sort of interesting because you look at a guy like Zohran Mamdani, who Sneeko's a big supporter of in New York. Mamdani is a Muslim, but Mamdani also has drag queens in the city council doing their voguing, doing their dance for Gay Pride Month. And you'll have these DSA candidates backed by a Muslim, and they support queer liberation and feminism and the rest of it. And you say, how do you reconcile Islam? How do you reconcile Orthodox Islam, which is deeply reactionary and conservative in terms of sexual morals and things like that, with leftism, which is queer liberation and feminism and the rest of it? What they have in common is they both hate America. What they have in common is they both hate whites, hate America, hate Europe and the colonial empires, maybe more than they resent each other. And so they're willing to put those differences aside and basically unite to say, we're going to stop the deportation of Muslims. We're going to tax the white people, give it to the non-white people, refugees welcome. We're going to end the wars, do all these things. That's effectively what they have in common. So that's the unholy alliance. And the problem is, like you talked about earlier, that's putting us in this dialectical position where it feels like you either are going to be right-wing and Zionist or you're going to be left-wing and Muslim. And I feel like people like you and I are stuck in the middle saying, I'm America first. I'm right wing. I'm Christian. I think America has this white identity and I want to put America first. And I don't necessarily want to bow to Israel. I don't want to bow to a third world invasion from these resentful third worldists either that just hate America and want to see it fundamentally reduced and have its wealth extracted from it and reappropriated and given to these, you know, workers of the world, these oppressed indigenous people, formerly colonized people of the world. So I see that clip and it's basically, this is what we're up against in 2028. This is why I have this very difficult relationship with the GOP, because as we've talked about many times on the show and had really, I think, productive, interesting conversations, on the one hand, we have our criticisms of the GOP and we see where it's gone wrong. Obviously, the suppression of the Epstein files, the war in Iran, the failure to carry out mass deportations. And so we'd like to punish the GOP and put them on a better track. At the same time, if you don't have a Republican in office in 2028, are we going to get some kind of socialist? Are we going to get a third worldist socialist that wants to abolish ICE and open the prisons?
And the way you got me to at least see your position and think maybe it's right is you're right. Statistically, if the Republicans lose big in the midterm, that'll make them behave better, get more back to their base. But more importantly, It's 90 plus percent of the time. If we were to keep the House and Senate, then we will pretty much for sure get blamed for any problems and lose in 2028. So you're right. Lose that battle to win the war. That is really cold-blooded, real politique. But still, I instinctively just have a big problem, ever ceding anything to them. And also, we're not in the same cycles and patterns at a time of big change, so things aren't as sure now. But in general, I think your calculus is probably accurate overall, but we can speak to that. But let me just back up what you just said, because it's so important. Watching Sneeko and the left, that's why there is this natural alliance for 50 years between Islam and communists and the left, is because they are fundamentally anti-Christian, anti-West. And if you really study Islam, and some of the countries don't put up with it, like Saudi Arabia, that are like ultra-Orthodox through their Wahhabist system. But most of the Muslim countries, Pakistan, Afghanistan, Egypt, you name it, is wildly homosexual or bisexual. Actually, the imams teach that you can have sex with men as long as you say you're sorry to Allah. You can always have sex with prepubescent boys. It's even in the Quran that if you're a shepherd and there's a boy and no women, you can have him. They have the dancing boys in Egypt, the dancing boys in dozens of their countries. And this is what they do, famous for Turkish prisons, raping any male that comes into them. So and then you have the hadiths written at the time where you have Muhammad wanting the power of 30 black men who rode him and filled him with their power. This guy would be a top, gay porn star. Muhammad would today. I'm not even trying to start a fight with him. I mean, these are maniacs and slavers. That's what was happening at Mecca and Medina. They took over, the Jewish area there that was involved, the crossroads of the Silk Road and, the camel trains coming through, all of that. And so the more you study Islam, the more sick it is and just bizarre. And all these rules where if a woman's raped, it doesn't matter, she gets killed. I mean, it is the ultimate bizarre, ultra-male, supremacist, monotheistic thing. And then you have all these naked lesbians out with Palestinian flags at the Muslim events. They have women in hijabs that go to drag queen story time that we've covered, where they're putting half naked men are putting $50 bills in little boys' G-strings. I mean, this is just freakazoid. So there's also kind of this idea in Christian conservatives that, Muslims oppose drag queen story time. Muslims oppose sexploitation of children. No, they oppose it being admitted. That's why they're the natural groups with the Pakistanis who are the worst on average, with the girls in sex slavery of 500,000 now we know of, working with the government to supply it to the sick pedo whites, in the UK that are just as bad as they are in many ways. Just fundamentally, this is a get-out-of-jail-free card system where Muhammad always gives all these excuses and all these reasons the way they can basically do whatever they want. If you're not a Muslim, they can lie to you. They can enslave your women, put them in sex slavery. They can sell you drugs. They can kill people. They can rape people. I mean, this is a truly psychotic, schizophrenic religion, Nick Fuentes.
Well, and what's more, it's false. It's a false religion. They're wrong. And It's interesting because somebody like Sneeko and I, we had something in common because we're both criticizing the genocide in Gaza. Obviously, I think any decent person, Muslim, Christian, liberal, is against genocide because we believe that, well, I mean, for Muslims, they believe that, well, this is a Muslim country. But for Christians and liberals, we believe in human rights. We believe in human dignity. We believe that people should be respected and so on. So we had a common cause with the Muslims in that we were against the genocide and we were against the influence of Israel and we were against this conflagration in the Middle East in general. But when you see Sneeko come out and say Islam will dominate the world, everyone will be Muslim, you realize that that is basically where the points of agreement end and finish. And you realize we have two completely different worldviews. My worldview is I want the whole world to be Christian. I'm Christian. I want everyone to recognize Christ as their savior. I want everyone in the Catholic Church. And fundamentally, from a political point of view, I'm America first. I want American citizens to be put first by the American government. If you have some third worldist Muslim that says, I want to end racism and I want everyone to be Muslim, you realize this is a person with a totally different worldview. It's a fundamentally different worldview. If they win, they're going to have what? Sharia law. They're going to let Muslims massively migrate into the United States and Europe. That's not that. That's like the defeat condition for we lose if that happens. So I just don't think there can be any kind of alliance with those people. And I also think that there is a foreign money component there as well. And obviously that happens with Israel. We all know that with AIPAC and with the Zionist Organization of America, Republican Jewish Coalition. It goes on and on and on. And Larry Ellison controls the media. I mean, this is endless. And this is at this point very well documented. I believe it's also true when you look at Sneeko, he goes to Malaysia and meets with the prime minister. He goes to Indonesia and meets with government figures. He goes to Morocco. He goes to Saudi Arabia. He goes to these countries, I think, with some sort of arrangement with those governments. Why? Because they see an American with an American accent speaking English promoting Islam, and not only promoting Islam, but promoting those countries and showing a friendlier face for those countries. You could say it's Islamism with a human face. And he goes there and he live streams and he makes it look like these are well-organized societies. He extols the values of Islam and Islamic society. And when you look at the United Arab Emirates, when you look at Qatar, when you look at Saudi Arabia, I think that is basically part of their charm offensive against the world, which is to rebrand their countries as destinations for tourism, high net worth individuals, expats to bring their money, also to rehabilitate their reputation. And so I think there's a big foreign aspect of it as well. And again, this gets back to what are we fundamentally about? America first, not anti-Israel, America first. And that means no $7,000 from Israel. That means no Larry Ellison money, no ZOA money, none of that. But it also means, yeah, we actually can't receive a golden visa from the Emirates in exchange for promoting Islam and how great Dubai is. We also can't go to Malaysia and meet with the prime minister and say, this Islamist country is amazing. Neither of those things are America first. So, fundamentally, that's what's going on. And it also has some similarities with the left, too. All these leftists that you see promoting the Palestinian cause, even though we're in Iran this weekend for the funeral of the Ayatollah, these guys like Jackson Hinkle. Hinkle is on like a world tour. You talk about Muhammad.
Hey, let me interrupt you because I wanted to get to him during Iran discussion next hour. But since you're going there, give us a little prelude. But before you do that, let me just back you up briefly. One point I didn't back you up on that I meant to get to. Islam always uses tribal differences. It can be the exact same race or genetic group, say in Pakistan, the different imams will play them off. They're very tribal. And when you hear the leftist and Sneeko, it's all very anti-white. He was Black Lives Matter. This is total Democrat Socialist of America, as you said. So you're not stating your opinion. This is a fact. Now he's like, I just believe in free speech and I love America and under Islam, all the races will unify and there won't be this evil white stuff. I mean, it's just outrageous because there's not 2 billion white supremacists that want to force everybody onto Christian nationalism. We don't want to. They are saying they are going to force us. And he plays the victim now that declaring war on us, that he started a war. And that's the great thing about Islam is once they get to 10%, Their Quran tells them to go on an offense. They're running their mouths. Thousands of imams are saying, we're going to take over your country. They're on Arabic TV saying we can enslave your women. We're coming for you. So I guess that is the good silver lining here, is the extreme arrogance. Also, the extreme arrogance of Ben-Gvir and the Israelis. We're going to kill everybody. We're masters of the universe. We run America. We're coming, you know, for you. I mean, what is up with these Middle Eastern cultures? Because I don't hate Jews or Muslims, but the arrogance. I mean, you don't see Westerners running around behaving like this, even though clearly by every yardstick for freedom and innovation and development and women's rights and everything, the West is the most egalitarian, classically liberal, I don't mean modern liberal, system. And we are not heads above. We are light years better. When the world recognized that, till the CIA leftist, you know, ADL takeover the last 50 years, the whole world was emulating us. They knew. They didn't debate that. The term white supremacy comes from Africa. That was the term they had. And then now it's this class envy, this existential envy that is just eating up the world. Nick Fuentes.
It's hubris. It's hubris. And you point out how Westerners are not like this. You go back to ancient Greece, and at the Temple of Apollo, it's inscribed from the Oracle of Delphi, know thyself, nothing in excess. Those are the two laws. Know thyself, meaning know your place in the world. You're immortal. You're a man. Don't give in to hubris. And nothing in excess. Everything in moderation. The virtue sits between the middle. That's who we are. That is the rational mind of the Westerner. That is the spirit of our civilization from Greece. These Middle Eastern cultures don't have that. The Jews, the Muslims, they don't have that. And you're right. That is one of the benefits, is that Sneeko, he's actually brought everybody and unified everybody against him and against Islam. If there was any goodwill, if there was any kind of semblance of maybe a coalition, he's totally ruined that. He's like a Jonah. He gave them the Sneeko curse. And so now it's everybody from you and me and Asmund Gold and Elon Musk and Aiden Ross. All these people are now saying, no, we do not want Islam. It's not everybody's going to be Islam. We want nothing to do with that. And, you know, so to your point, though, about the DSA coalition with these Muslims and everything like that. Do you want to move on to Jackson Hinkle, or do you want to stick around with Sneeko?
Well, I do want to finish with Sneeko. Since you mentioned it, let's play the clip. And most people have seen him, in case people haven't. Here's Sneeko saying, we're going to conquer you, we're going to rule you. But he said even crazier stuff the same day and the next day. There's hours of this. Here he is just looking like he's demon-possessed, doing throat-slitting motions, just in his crazed avarice and bloodthirst for us. Here it is.
Allahu Akbar! Oh no! Oh no! This is the Islamic Republic of New Yorkistan! Islam will be in every household! Inshallah, the whole world is Muslim! Welcome to Mamdani's New York! You see this city? You see how it looks? Inshallah, your city looks just like this too! They took it away? Mossad Messi strikes again. Messi is the Netanyahu of football. Yo. They just disallowed the goal, bro.
Yo, Sneeko!
Mossad Messi, what the? It's because Netanyahu made Messi kiss the wall. It's because he kissed the wall.
Well, let me tell you, old Sneeko, you're scaring us how they bomb Europe with the millions of Muslim Africans, all of it. Ah, you're coming for us. Ah, you're so scary, Sneeko. Let me see your war face, Sneeko. Ah, you guys, like the Navy SEAL guy said, you don't act like that at 2 a.m. So you want it, Sneeko? You got it. They'll mark this in the history books at the beginning of the New Crusades. Nick, we got 4 minutes to break. Let's get into Hinkle now to start Iran. We'll go to the next hour, what Trump's done, and him saying, oh, it's over, it doesn't matter, we're done, we're going to blow up Iran, when he knows that they can't fall the regime and they know the Strait of Hormuz is closed. So this is a disaster Trump walked into. You predicted a year before the election he would do before anybody, and then it would destroy the Republicans, and now we're here. So you were very prescient on that. But Hinkle's a very handsome guy, nice guy. I've interviewed him. He goes and hangs out with Maduro at the state events and gets praised in their Congress. He's in Iran. We have a clip of it saying, down with America, if I get that clip ready. And I've reached out to him. I got his number. He's not calling us back. He's in Iran. It's one thing if you want to say this war is wrong, but like the optics of down with America, what do you make of this?
Well, he lives in Russia. He lives in Russia. He can't come back to the United States because he is on a world tour. And I was going to say moments ago, you brought up how Muhammad was filled with the power of all these African men. I think Jackson Hinkle's on a similar mission because he's been on like a world tour over the past few years. He's hit Venezuela. He's hit Burkina Faso. He's hit Yemen, Iran, Russia. He's literally on a third world tour going around to all these losers and all these different countries, basically to be a famous traitor to America. He's like the Jane Fonda of this era. Because like we talked about with Sneeko, what's the benefit of having Sneeko go to Malaysia and Indonesia and these countries? It's because they basically have an American traitor. It's like when North Korea, it's like if North Korea has a prisoner of war or something praising the supreme leader and communism saying down with the West, it's no different. They're basically a propaganda device. And so in Jackson Hinkle, they actually have something superior, which is not some, you know, mystery meat, Haitian, Filipino guy who looks like a chimpanzee. They actually have, like you said, a handsome, although short, white man, a white guy with an American accent, with like an angular, robust face, going to these brown clown countries, like you said, from Venezuela to West Africa to the Middle East, saying, down with America. We support socialism. Remember the martyrs. Destroy the United States. And like you said, it's one thing to criticize the war. We both do that. And I've said even, I think it's beneficial if Iran wins this conflict, because ultimately Israel is driving the war. And we maybe don't want Iran to be destroyed. It's probably not in our best interest in the long term. But there's all the difference in the world between being in America, using our First Amendment rights as patriotic Americans and saying, this war is not good for Americans, and going to a country we are at war with that does legitimately hate us and wants to destroy us, and saying as a propaganda device for that foreign regime, destroy America, down with America. You know, let's not forget, the Iranians have killed Americans. Now, you know, we could talk about the context under which that happened. You know, it's not like Iran was necessarily the aggressor in every one of those situations, but to be in a country where they're doing that, where the population's mobilized against us, it's sort of like this idea of, we all know you can pick on your little brother and you can have a family feud, but you don't go outside the family. You don't pick on your little brother in front of the other people.
Yeah, you know, don't join in with three neighborhood bullies and break your little brother's nose, or your dad's going to break your arm.
Exactly. And that's basically what is happening, but on a much worse level. So I said on my show, I think Trump should drone strike Jackson Hinkle. I don't think he should make it back home. I think he should be made an example out of, because you can't betray the United States of America. I consider that treason. And I think that's why he's living in Russia, because he knows if he comes back, he's probably going to jail or something terrible is going to happen to him. So I think he should either stay over there or he should be at the bottom of the ocean.
Well, I don't normally call people feds, but he may be a super deep cover CIA. Because the stuff he does is so reckless. I mean, I would never do that stuff anyways, but if I did that stuff, they'd have killed me or put me in prison. I mean, there's no way you get away with that. I smell something with this Hinkle guy. We'll be right back with Nick J. Fuentes. We're extending America's 250th mega sale, the biggest in the history, the AllShowStore.com. That means this Monday the 6th and Tuesday the 7th at midnight central, the biggest sales ever. Buy one, get one free, up to 60% off the best-selling supplements, Patriot apparel, 50% off, and more. Take action now at the AllShowStore.com. Have you noticed all the big universities and corporate media and governments around the world run down America all day? That's because the American system stands against their globalist system. And as the public figures that out, their corrupt, tyrannical, oppressive, communistic, anti-human death cult can't compete with what America stands for. And we stand in the shoes, on the shoulders of our forebears. Whether you're black, white, Hispanic, old, young, if you love liberty and freedom, and if you want to be free, and if you want to control your own destiny, you believe in meritocracy, then America is for you. It's under attack because the idea of it stands in the way of the enemy. And America is a dream. Just like a dream to get married, or a dream to start a business, or a dream to write a poem or write a song. And when you do that, those dreams come true. But we have to breathe life into those dreams. They want to kill those dreams. Don't let them break your will. be proud to be an American and know people around the world still love America and understand it's the globalists that have hijacked us, and we're in the process of taking our country back from the Chi-Coms and the Israel lobby and the globalists and Hollywood and the left and all of them. And that's why it's so important to support the next leg in the info war at AlexJonesLive.com. And, of course, at the AlexJonesStore.com with the widest selection of Patriot apparel, the best supplements, collectible knives, the best water filtration, and more that will empower and enrich your life while keeping this beacon of truth on the air as we accelerate into the future and as the Great Awakening prepares the final defeats of the globalists and their Great Reset. I salute you all. This is 1776 2.0. We're unstoppable together. God bless you all. Take action now.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle. AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.